I'm your host, Nick Brannigan, coming to you on the Blog Talk Radio channel for this Thursday, January 2nd edition. Today we're going to be talking about Monsanto and Oprah. Yes, Oprah Winfrey, the alleged supposed organic lover, is running Monsanto ads in her magazine. We're going to read an article from MassReport.com coming up very shortly. We're going to talk about organic wines, fluoridated waters, 70th anniversary, BPA, some bizarre vegan news. Check out my friends before we get into the show, Dr. Somia Schreeder at LasVegasHomeopathy.com. If you live in Las Vegas, you can visit her for homeopathic treatment. If you live outside of Las Vegas, you can get a Skype consultation with her. Also, GetVeggies.com, located in Eastern and Pebble in the Regal Cinema Plaza. For those with Las Vegas, get your certified organic community supported agriculture CSA program. Get certified organic vegetables from them. Just a reminder, this show is live 6 days a week for at least the next couple of months. Deciding, you know, if that's the route I want to continue to going. But yeah, it's broadcasting live 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Saturday. In addition, the weekly show on naturalnewsradio.com airs every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, the new internet TV version of the show. It's a work in progress, but we're doing it weekly. Film it every Thursday night at the Natural Organic Healing Center. Then it airs Sunday. And go to the website healthconspiracy.com. It's being reconstructed slowly but surely to make your user experience more awesomer. Who says more awesomer? Come on. I'm just joking. This is Nick Brannigan. Health Conspiracy Radio starts now.
Is there a health conspiracy? You can bet your bottom dollar. Genetically modified food, poison in your tap water, toxic, tainted, and abused meat and dairy. Ingredients of mass destruction, poisonous pesticides and herbicides, deep psychological propaganda, food that makes your children go crazy. Do you think the FDA is meant to protect you? And just what in the world are they spraying in the skies? You have been a victim of mass programming, but it's never too late. Learn how to successfully make changes that last, leading you to a new life of health and vibrancy that most will never experience. Over the next hour, allow Nick Brannigan to share with you his research, expertise, and life experience. This is Health Conspiracy Radio.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is Health Conspiracy Radio. Let's get started. Article at MassReport.com is reiterating the fact, this was reported in December 2014, but Oprah Winfrey supports Monsanto. Now, I don't know much about Oprah. You know, to me, she comes across as very hyper-egomaniac. That's just, you know, the casual observation of her, so I don't know too much about her. Apparently she's an organic lover, but in her O magazine, I mean, because if you have a magazine and you put yourself on the cover every month, there's no ego involved in there. But apparently Monsanto ads are running now. She fooled us. Organic lover Oprah Winfrey now supports Monsanto. Article from MassReport.com. How could one of the most outspoken supporters of organic food suddenly take money from one of the most hated food companies in the communities which most support organic foods? We really thought Oprah Winfrey was with us and against them. According to recent findings, we were wrong. It evidently all comes down to the all-powerful dollar. Oprah is not stupid when it comes to financial choices. She is very powerful financially. And frankly, she has a stake in the whole organic movement as an owner of an organic farm in Maui. She has trademarked Oprah's Organics. Now she stands accused of accepting money from Monsanto, the voted most evil company in the world. The Institute for Responsible Technology has posted on their Facebook page that Winfrey will be running an ad from Monsanto in 2015. Other activists have posted ads that have already run in O Magazine. The ad features a happy multi-ethnic blend of families meeting at the dinner table. It is from the company's newly created multi-million dollar campaign to encourage discussion of genetically modified foods and the responsibility to feed the world in a sustainable manner. And the ad says, grab a seat and let's dig in. The best dinners are the ones with lively conversation. Different perspectives make the meal better and more interesting. We approach agriculture the same way, because growing enough food for a growing world and doing it in a sustainable way requires a wide range of ideas and resources. That's why we partner with farmers, nonprofits, and many others. It's time for a bigger discussion about food. Be part of the conversation at discover.monsanto.com. We'll go to that website next. Because Oprah's Magazine has previously spoken out about labeling GMOs as such and the potential health risk of GMOs, the decision to run the ad has angered many of the organic and GMO-free movement. The Institute of Responsible Technology is hoping to help Oprah understand the error of her ways and to get her to pull the advertisement before additional damage is done. Hopefully the ad will not reach the adoring masses that follow Oprah, or that follow Miss O, whatever, and every suggestion she makes. Adoring masses. If you follow someone and every suggestion they make, I wouldn't call that adoring masses. I would call that your cult following. Hello. I don't trust Oprah, so there's really nothing about her that makes me surprised. Sorry I keep yawning. It's 5 a.m. It is 5 a.m. But I don't know really what to say. It just doesn't, I'm not outraged. It's Oprah. Maybe it's just my view of her has never been, anything holier than thou, like some, like people are in the movement are coming across. I don't know. But it is, obviously contradictory in your character when you're on an organic farm and apparently promote organics, and now you have these demons at Monsanto on your team. But the fact that Monsanto even needs to run ads to, quote, get the conversation going, they're desperate. They're running ads on Disney. They're getting desperate. The term genetically modified food, GMO, is becoming more and more in the mainstream. And people are starting to ask questions. So I'm at discover.monsanto.com, and it's just a page that makes it look like people that just make food from a farming standpoint. Doesn't look like anything. Oh, they have from rice to corn in Vietnam. How about Agent Orange? Oh, you forgot about that, didn't you, Monsanto? So, yeah, it's just really just a page to make it look like they're not the most evil company. How hungry humans saved the avocado. Avocados do not grow in Vermont. I'm clicking this link. Okay, this is going to naturalgeographic.com. I don't understand why this is doing this, but yeah. The day they go after avocados is the day I really get pissed. That was weird. The link says how hungry humans saved the avocado, and it went to the National Geographic's online store. Nothing to do with avocados. Freaking weird Monsanto. But here's the thing. I don't use the Google. I use StartPage.com. StartPage.com doesn't spy on you. But let's go to Google just because of the predictive program. I mean, the predictive search engine. Type in Monsanto. Let's see what comes up. First of all, when you have a computer that's 12 years old from the freaking Stone Age, it runs a little slow when you're trying to do radio, but that's okay. So what comes up in the search is Monsanto, the Monsanto GMO, Monsanto Protection Act, Monsanto products. Okay, so we'll go to the first link, Monsanto, about 23 million results. And first one that comes up is an ad for the Cornucopia Institute. Join millions against Monsanto to protect organic food. That's pretty cool. They hijacked that one. Good job, Cornucopia Institute. And Monsanto.com, Monsanto on Wikipedia. In the news, Monsanto poised to take over the weed industry from Infowars.com. Organic Consumers Association, millions against Monsanto. ModernFarmer.com, why does everyone hate Monsanto? Don't know if that's a pro or against article, but the headline itself shows you something. MarchAgainstMonsanto.com, it's time to take our planet back. In-depth articles, Monsanto's going organic in the quest for the perfect vegetables. That's an old article. Why the climate corporation sold itself to Monsanto? Monsanto's harvest of fear. VanityFair.com. Monsanto's Source Watch. Yeah, so when you put that in, not a lot of positive comes up. Then the other search ones are Monsanto-owned companies, Monsanto products, Monsanto lawsuits, Monsanto documentary, Monsanto seeds, Monsanto history. So what I'm getting at here is they could buy the ads in Oprah magazine. They could buy the ads in Disney. But if someone takes 2 minutes to do a little research, it simply is entering the name Monsanto into the monstrosity known as Google, most of the results are not putting a shining light on Monsanto. Since we're here, let's take a look at this article from Infowars.com. Looks like reposted on Infowars.com. Monsanto poised to take over the weed industry. Oh, weed as in marijuana, okay. I thought it was other type of weeds, which makes no sense. Maybe the main issue we'll be eventually dealing with is whether we should have easier access to medical marijuana that's organic or GMO-free. How awesome is that? Earlier this month, my great home state of Illinois joined the party and legalized medical marijuana, becoming the 20th state in the nation to do so. With most of the rest of the 30 straggling states now trying to push forward some kind of legislation, and with Washington and Colorado both taking the unprecedented step to outright legalize it, and with CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta officially climbing on the board the Green Express by saying that he believes legitimate medicinal properties, the nationwide legalization of medical marijuana is less of a hope and more of an inevitability. At some point in the near future, most likely one that takes place in our own lifetimes, the use of medical marijuana will be as prevalent as cigarettes, alcohol, and aspirin. Hopefully more prevalent, because cigarettes, alcohol, and aspirin are not something you should put in your body often, if ever. And as anyone who's ever stepped foot in a bar or liquor store or hospital knows, that means big corporations jockeying for your money. As this report from CNBC makes clear, there are tons of money in pot. Pot. It's so-called largest cash crop in California for a reason. The cultivation of marijuana plants in Mendocino County alone is theorized to reach roughly $1.5 billion a year. Seeing as no one has the perfect understanding of just how many plants are being grown up there, the estimate may actually be low, and with much money hanging around, corporate interests are sure to follow. All right, so this article is originally from kcet.org, so let's get to the gist of it. Let's get to the juice of it. Let's talk about Monsanto genetically modifying weed, because that's what the world needs is some GMO weed, son. I'm looking forward to the day where they legalize hemp and I get to just grow my own hemp in my backyard. Make some edible seeds so I don't got to pay $17 a pound for them. I actually don't pay that for them because it's just ridiculously expensive. All right, so continuing with the article. Legal commercial production in the U.S. is currently handled by a patchwork of small farmers, while there's been rumors of big agricultural firms buying up land ahead of legalization. It will still take time to develop a mass production product and even more time to build a Maxwell House-like brand that will come to dominate the market. All right, so let's get to it. Where's the Monsanto stuff at? Picture the future. Marijuana-laced edibles being sold at Ralph's behind some kind of glass, of course, that have not been made with GMO infused peanut butter and Rice Krispies and flour. Or I've only been made with GMO peanut butter and Rice Krispies and flour. That just sounds disgusting. But the marijuana itself isn't raised with genetically modified seedlings. That kind of product doesn't seem like what cancer patients and other ill individuals will be looking forward to digesting to dull the pain. We're talking about medical marijuana here. Which means that maybe the main issue we'll eventually be dealing with not whether we should have access to medical marijuana at all, but whether we should have access to medical marijuana that's organic and GMO-free. So this article doesn't give much insight on how Monsanto is involved. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on. What else are we going to talk about? Let's talk about wine. Do you like a nice glass of wine? Who doesn't? I tell you who doesn't. Weird people. But I came across a pretty cool article talking about organic wine and why it's important. Because some wine people are unaware of is made from a form of GMO yeast. They are fermenting the wine with genetically modified organisms. But that may not be the biggest issue in the wine. There's other contaminants and nasties that you probably want to be aware of. So I'm at a website, thehour.com. It says, look for organic when you pick wine. By Frank Whitman. Organic wine is part of the expanding universe of food and drink made with ingredients grown in a way that benefits the health and well-being of both the planet and the consumer. The definition of organic can be complicated and technical, but the basic idea includes farming without synthetic fertilizer and pesticides. Farming in a way that works in partnership with nature and farming that encourages a healthy and natural system of soil, plant, and animal life. Drinking organic is both a way to enjoy delicious wine and to do the right thing. While the principles of organic grape growing are well established, organic wine making is a bit trickier. Lots of vintners grow organically, but commercially, winemaking usually requires sulfur dioxide, a non-organic chemical, to stabilize the wine. It's pretty important. Without it, wine in the bottle can undergo unexpected changes and even become undrinkable. If you look closely at the label, most wine with an organic claim says made with organically grown grapes or something like that. The wine is not technically organic, but the principal ingredient, grapes, is. Only true organic wine without sulfur dioxide or other chemical stabilizers can be labeled as organic wine. But examples are few and far between. Frey from Northern California is the most popular brand in this small category. Winemakers making organic style wine with organically grown grapes have taken to listing the ingredients to ensure its purity, even though there is no legal requirement to do so. A good example is the 2011 Napa Valley Cabernet from the Napa Wine Company. The grapes are all estate grown, not purchased from another grower using organic practices. To emphasize the organic intentions of the wine, the back of the label lists the ingredients as organically grown grapes, yeast, sulfur dioxide to preserve freshness, assuring the buyer that the wine is not treated with lots of other stuff. It's pretty close to all organic. The wine available at Total Wine is excellent. A classic Napa Cab with currant and blackberry aromas, soft tannins, and a lingering finish. There are three principal approaches to natural grape growing that are practiced worldwide: organic, integrated pest management, and biodynamic. To be legally organic, excluding pesticides, fungicides, and chemical fertilizers, while using natural methods like cover crops to control weeds and nourish the soil, the vineyards must be certified by an outside organization over several years. In California, it's the California Certified Organic Farmers. Despite the high bar and expensive startup costs, organic farming is becoming more common in wine-growing regions around the world. So, this big article, I'm not going to read the rest of it. Other issue is the fluoride. There's a fluoride-based pesticide that is sprayed heavily on grapes, amongst other crops like wheat, almonds, corn, oats, prior or post-harvest, but it's heavily sprayed on grapes. So when you get a glass of wine, you're often getting a ton more fluoride than what you get in the tap water out of your sink, you know, assuming as most Americans do live in a fluoridated city. So that is an issue too, another reason to go organic. And the Restrevol, I never know if I say that word right, the Restrevol in the wine, which is the antioxidant that is touted when people say drink a glass of wine a day for that antioxidant, it is not as nearly as potent in non-organically grown wine or grapes because it is a fungicide. So when chemical fungicides are sprayed on these grapes, it doesn't grow the Restrevol because it is a fungicide. It is a natural defense, and it doesn't need to grow the natural defense when it's being sprayed with a synthetic version of a fungicide. So that is another reason to drink organic wine. Now, I know Trader Joe's has some pretty inexpensive bottles of organic certified, USDA certified organic wine. I picked up once or twice before I go to a party or something, just so I can have something to freaking drink. Because whenever I've had non-organic wines, I've always gotten a headache the next day, and it's not really a hangover from the alcohol. It's probably from all the chemicals inside of it that my body so rarely gets, so when it gets it, it feels it. So, yeah, organic wine at Trader Joe's is probably a good way to go. I'm sure Whole Foods has a selection, and maybe even Sprouts. I don't know where you live. Maybe even some liquor stores. If that's your thing, or go to your local liquor store and be like, yo, I need some organic wine, son. Make it happen. But be polite about it. Fluoridation 70th anniversary. Woo! Not something to celebrate. It's from PRNewsWire.com. This is a press release from the Fluoride Action Network, the number one organization that just does such a great job. Oh, excuse my yawning. Educating the public about fluoride. So check it out. January 25th, 2015 marks the 70th anniversary of fluoridation, forcing Americans to ingest fluoride chemicals via the public water supplies without their informed consent. Fluoridation promoters repeatedly claim the practice is safe and effective, but science does not support either claim, reports the Fluoride Action Network. Paul Connett, Ph.D., Fluoride Action Network's executive director, says politics, not science, keeps fluoridation alive. Fluoridation proponents, including the CDC, hire PR agents to sell us fluoridation using half-truths, talking points, and diversions. Dennis at the CDC claimed that fluoridation is one of the top public health achievements of the 20th century. I'd say one of the top public health conspiracy achievements of the 20th century. In reality, it is one of the greatest public health betrayals of the 20th century. Today, World Health Organization data indicates no difference in tooth decay in 12-year-olds between fluoridated and non-fluoridated countries. Despite 7 decades of fluoridation reaching a record number of Americans, officials' report indicate that tooth decay crisis exists in the U.S. That's official reports indicate that tooth decay crisis exists in the U.S. Meanwhile, dental fluorosis, the outward sign of fluoride overdose, is impacting over 40% of American teens. As a result, the Department of Health and Human Services recommends that water fluoride levels be reduced. But its recommendations is far too little when it comes too late, and it comes too late. Current science proves that ingested fluoride doesn't reduce tooth decay. If it works at all, it works topically, i.e. on the outside of the tooth, but does expose the entire population to fluoride's adverse health effects, which can range from molted teeth, ew, and stomach pains to thyroid disorders and brain deficits. Kind of like the vaccines. Hey, you might die. Your kid might get autism, but it'll stop the measles. Your kid might get Guillain-Barré's, but hey, they won't get HPV. Your teeth will be pretty, but your brain will be dead. You'll have nice teeth, but you'll be overweight because of your thyroid issues. Yay for fluoride. Yay for vaccines. According to Conant, it is reckless to expose bottle-fed infants to levels of fluoride over 100 times the level in mother's milk. Nature protects the baby from fluoride, and fluoridation is removing that protection for bottle-fed babies. You'd think, too, with so much bottled water being around, most people would notice a difference in quality between what comes in the bottle versus what comes out of the tap. Not that bottled water is perfect, sitting in plastic that's leaching chemicals in it all day. But there is a significant difference, at least in the taste. And you would think most parents would know better. You'd think most parents would know better than to get tap water and make a baby's bottle with it. But we're also feeding them soy from GMOs and corn syrup that we're being sold is infant formula. It's just crazy, people. It's really crazy and mind-boggling at times. Continuing with the article. According to Conant, it is reckless to expose bottle-fed infants to levels of fluoride. Dentists at the ADA and CDC assure citizens that fluoridation is safe, but they have no professional qualifications to make pronouncements on any tissue other than the teeth. Fan study tracker contains published studies from major peer-reviewed journals showing fluoride's harm and not just high levels. For example, 42 studies show fluoride reduces IQ, 17 at levels the U.S. EPA claims are safe. According to Conant, the last children in the U.S. that need a drop in IQ are children from low-income families, and they are precisely the children being targeted in fluoridation programs. Hundreds of communities have abandoned or rejected fluoridation. Last year, the Israeli health minister banned fluoridation countrywide because of health concerns. PR people teach dentists and other fluoridation promoters to avoid dialogue based on harms and risk. That's because no science convincingly supports the safety of fluoridation, says Conant. That's why they won't debate the issue with us in public, and why after 4 years they have failed to produce a scientific response to our book, The Case Against Fluoride. Instead of handling the science in a professional manner, both the ADA and the CDC are pouring money into PR to keep this outdated and dangerous practice going. This includes over $30 million of taxpayer money that the CDC is using over the next 5 years to help fluoridate more communities in several target states, and the ADA is lobbying for more. The ADA is also using $500,000 of its own money on a social media campaign. Fluoride is a waste of money on many fronts. CDC's PRs claim that for each $1 invested in fluoridation, $38 is saved in dental costs. that has shown to be false by independent scientists. Incredibly, after 70 years, it is still not clear which federal agency has jurisdiction of the safety of this program. However, according to Conant, fluoridation would end tomorrow if the FDA and the EPA would do their jobs honestly. Shockingly, the FDA has never regulated fluoride for ingestion, and the EPA is dragging its feet determining a safe level of fluoride in water, considering it as a contaminant under the Safe Water Drinking Act. Sadly, many communities are being tricked into thinking that there are federal agencies that take responsibility for their safety, for the safety of this program, but not one does so. Conant concluded that continuing this practice in the absence of sound science and investing millions of dollars in PR to cover up that fact will further erode the public's trust in public health programs. Right now, the only thing being protected is the reputation of those who refuse to accept this program has been a massive failure both ethically and scientifically. You know, just the whole issue, you know, if fluoride was, you know, if say everything in here was, you know, could it be wrong? If fluoride has been proven safe for you, where's the dosage control? Why are you putting it into water for everybody? Who's controlling how much I get versus how much my child gets? What if a small child drinks lots of tap water a day and his parents don't drink any? And why are you swallowing something that's supposed to affect the teeth? It just doesn't make any sense. All right, so check this out. We're going to do a short show today. Please share this with your friends and family. Let them know Health Conspiracy Radio is your go-to show for health, or at least one of them. And, you know, give this show a share on social media. Go to healthconspiracy.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. And just do what you can to help get the word out. You know, I'm no longer, well, I never really have, but I'm not treating this as a hobby. I'm treating this as a professional endeavor. It is a labor of love. You know, I do this on my own dime, on my own time, and anything you could do to help support this show, to get this information out, to add value to your life and add value to the lives of your friends and family and make everyone the best version of themselves possible is greatly appreciated. So thank you very much. Again, healthconspiracy.com is the website, and I will see you guys tomorrow.